Breathe deep, everybody. You know what? Go, if you haven't been outside yet today, just walk to the front door. If you have a house, apartment building, it doesn't do it as well. Get yourself, throw open the door and just go. Ah, it's way better today than it was yesterday. Yesterday at this time was brutal. It's a much clearer morning this morning here in Ottawa. Thankfully, the winds have changed. It's not so great for our friends down in the Toronto area. They're going to have a very smoky day today. But much better here in Ottawa, at least for today. Tomorrow, maybe in the afternoon, we might see a return of some of the smoke. But things are improved for one day at least, thankfully, because it's been tough for a lot of people over the last couple of days. But a much better morning. We're at 1 on the scale of 1 to 10 on the air quality index. 1 being good, by the way. 10 being no good. We're at 1. We were at 29 yesterday morning on a scale of 1 to 10. I still don't know how that works. We were at 29. Eventually, we got to 10 plus. The Ottawa was, as you heard Chris mention, had the worst air quality in the world yesterday, worse than places like Shanghai that we hear about, Delhi, India, those types of places that traditionally have bad pollution all the time. We were worse than any of those cities yesterday.
Yeah, interesting to see New York. And I don't know if that's a push from the water of the air coming on and sealing it, or when you think of the volume of traffic, but as far as a visual, and lots of blame, all the newspapers down there blaming Canada. So that was wild. And all the way down, what, Philadelphia was, the Phillies canceled their game, right?
Yes.
Yeah,
they did.
So, it's quite a reaching effect here in the power of Mother Nature.
The pictures from New York were really eerie. Very eerie, and it all came in mostly in the afternoon to the point where they actually had to ground jets, airplanes yesterday at LaGuardia because the visibility was so poor at times. So, and you're right. The signs were all there. Watch the CBS Evening News last night at 6:30, and everything was wildfires, all the smoke coming from Canada.
Exactly.
The only time we get acknowledged in the United States is when we do bad things.
Yeah, it used to be.
We're good guys.
I know. It used to be acid rain. Now it's wildfires.
Yes, so exactly.
Remember the 80s. That's all we talked about. Well, actually, we blame the United States for that one.
All right, 7:15, lots to get to this morning. Back to the DeBrincat talk in just a second. Mike Johnson will join us an hour from now from South Florida. MJ's had a chance to probably press the dress pants, settled in after being, we had an extra day, of course, between games 2 and 3. Game 3 goes tonight at 8 o'clock of the Stanley Cup Final with Vegas in the driver's seat, up 2 games to none. Radko Gudas didn't practice yesterday, but Paul Maurice says he expects him to play tonight. But I think Vegas and particularly Mr. Barbashev, the guy who laid him out in game 2, would be looking at that. That's the old wounded wildebeest theory that I have. Yeah. If you know somebody on the other team is hurt, you're absolutely going to go after him even more so.
Well, and also, he's one of those players, JR, generally is going after people. Kind of the Eric Lindros effect, right? Now, all of a sudden, you're the one being hunted. And I would also assume from Florida going 11-7 the other night, based on Gudas not being able to play on whatever else he was dealing with, man, oh man, that really is touch and go. And it also kind of, to me, it's so interesting when you talk about concussion protocol and how this looks. That did not look like a hockey player that you would think 3 days later would be ready to play. We know he's a gamer, and you're absolutely right. That'll be a target tonight, and we'll see how they fare, probably going 11-7.
Because we don't often see wildebeest on the savannah of Ottawa. Maybe I should bring something a little more local that people can identify with. I'll go with the wounded Canada goose.
Yeah, that's true.
I've seen the odd one on the golf course that may have been hit by someone who maybe fired one that didn't get off the ground and hits the gaggle of geese, and unfortunately,
accidentally.
That happens. Yeah. Maybe they lose a leg, and it's like and everybody just said, Fox is going to get that guy.
Well, that's true. Or you know, the person that had a couple too many pops and ran over it with the golf cart.
Oh,
as you often see here, and I saw it this morning. I had to slow down on River Road. There was a nice little family coming across, a little Canadian traffic jam.
Wow.
And you got to make sure that they're all ready
to
cross the road.
Stop everybody?
Oh, absolutely. I was in an Uber, good to go. But I'm just saying, you see that a lot in and around that area, right around Billings Bridge, obviously where the water is. So that is a very, you're right, a very Canadian-esque thing.
All right, we'll see the Bob in net tonight. Gudas expected to play. Vegas all firing on all cylinders. It's, as a wise man once said, as close to a must-win as a must-win can be without being a must-win for Florida tonight, down 2 games to none. As we know, teams don't come back from 3-0 down, especially in a Stanley Cup final, and especially when the team that they're playing, in this case Vegas, is as good as they are. There is no reason to suspect whatsoever the Vegas Golden Knights in any way, other than an amazing rash of injuries, are going to lose four games in a row to anybody. So Florida has to win the game tonight.
Oh, absolutely. And I do expect a pushback. I think generally, when I look at a game three and you look at crowd, but I think this year in Florida with the crowd, and I think when you come off of a building or an atmosphere, JR, where you don't necessarily draw that well, I do think their playoff atmosphere, and again, with having the Bob play a little bit better, I do expect to push back, and I actually expect Florida to win, which we'll find out. I already gave it away, but I'll find out in our FanDuel as I am coming in, as my good friend Bobby Ryan used to say, coming in hot.
Coming in hot. With another sweep last night. Okay, so 7:30 pregame, by the way, here on TSN 1200 for Game 3 tonight, 8 o'clock, face-off coverage of Game 3 of the Stanley Cup Final. So MJ will join us, and we'll talk about all the hockey stuff, including DeBrincat with him in about an hour. And then after 9, also happening tonight, it's the kickoff to the new CFL season. Mm-hmm. Ottawa starts on Saturday, but the season actually kicks off tonight in Calgary as the Stampeders will host the BC Lions at 9 o'clock. And, of course, TSN has all the CFL games all season long, including tonight's game. We're going to talk to our friend Justin Dunk from Three Down Nation, and we're going to get a CFL season preview. So we'll touch on the Red Blacks, but talk to Justin about how he feels this season is going to play itself out. I mentioned TSN did their CFL preview show a couple of nights ago, and all of the teams, when they went around the horn, and there were five of them in total doing predictions, when they went around the horn of who's going to play in the Grey Cup game, at least Toronto was mentioned. Toronto was mentioned, Hamilton was mentioned, and even Montreal was mentioned as coming out of the East. Ottawa was the only team that didn't get a mention among the TSN CFL panelists for a spot in the Grey Cup game. So Red Blacks, of course, will begin on Saturday in Montreal. They practiced indoors again yesterday. They moved to, and I'm not familiar with this, but the Nation Sports Complex in Limoges. They practiced indoors yesterday, but in Limoges.
Yeah.
So I'm not sure if that's bigger, whether the Aberdeen Pavilion, the Cattle Castle, where they practiced 2 days ago was busy, or whether it just at the end of the day wasn't big enough, because I think they made a last-minute decision to move it indoors. But if the complex in Limoges is bigger, anyway, the error is more fresh today. Well, presumably, the Red Blacks will be practicing outside at TD Place today.
Be good to go, and that's actually on Kenny Wall's property, so that's also nice. I would assume as well, Jared, all respect to the Aberdeen Pavilion, that's concrete. I mean, you're not practicing necessarily. So these sports complexes are actually, and we see the NFL, especially the northern teams, right? They use these all the time, do they not? The Buffalo Bills and other teams.
Oh,
so,
the bubbles, yeah.
Yeah. So that would make a lot of sense. And yeah, I bet for the athletes, yeah, kind of nice just to get out into some fresh air today and talk about a great temperature to be practicing and working out as well. Not going to get tired in that cool temperature that we're feeling on this Thursday.
All right, Justin Dunk previews the CFL season for us coming up after 9 o'clock this morning. Here is your code word in our TSN 1200 King of the Grill contest with our friends at Capital Barbecue. Somebody's going to win a brand new Weber barbecue, courtesy of Capital Barbecue, just in time for Father's Day. Don't panic if you've forgotten it's Father's Day. It's not this weekend. It's a week from this weekend. It's the next Sunday. So you got some time to get a good gift for dear old dad, but maybe there's nothing better you could gift them than maybe a brand new barbecue. Imagine showing up with that bad boy on Father's Day. You know that old Canadian Tire commercial? You know, it's a throwback commercial to like the 1930s.
Okay.
And the little kid is flipping through. And if you're old enough to remember, Canadian Tire, like a lot of stores, would send out a catalog.
Oh,
right.
Man,
you'd go through and you'd order stuff out of the catalog.
Oh,
and
yeah.
The kid is flipping through the catalog, the dad is flipping through the catalog, and he sees that something has been cut out in the bike section. The little kid, the son, has cut out the picture of the bike. And so then it turns out that the dad, and he's kind of a farmer type of guy, and he goes, son, I need your help with some stuff outside.
Aww.
And then they walk to the old pickup truck, and dad pulls out the bike out of the back of the pickup truck.
Nice.
That's like a home run, tug at the heartstrings. I may be misting over just a little bit moment.
Aww.
You could do that in reverse for your dad. by winning him a barbecue.
That'd be pretty solid. Or if you can't afford the barbecue, just give him the cutout from the catalogs and say, someday. Or I've actually got it away on the layaway plan.
Well, that's why you're going to win it. It's going to be that free.
If that commercial kept going, you would have seen old Pa there say, hey, you're not riding her yet. Get in that barn. We got some chores to do first.
You
got to
muck some stalls. All right. Your code word for today is capital. As in the sponsors of our contest, capital, C-A-P-I-T-A-L. Go to tsn1200.ca, and you'll see the banner right across the top. King of the Grill Contest. Insert your information and the code word capital, and just like that, you're into the grand prize draw that we'll have. Somebody wins that brand-new Weber barbecue, courtesy of Capital Barbecuing. All the information and everything on our website at tsn1200.ca. Mm-hmm. While you're there, you can vote on our TSN 1200 Tool and Equipment Store web poll question of the day, which already has... after a few minutes, close to 300 votes. What is the preferred return on an Alex DeBrincat trade? And we'll get into, hey, why are those guys discussing Alex DeBrincat again today? Mm-hmm. You just woke up and you were under a rock last night. We'll tell you why. But here are your four options. A similar goal-scoring forward, singular. Mm-hmm. Added depth, middle six types. Okay, couple players maybe. Goalie. Or a first and futures. All right, those are your four options. Similar goal scoring forward, added depth, middle six types, a goalie, or a first and futures, those type of types of things. Simmer is in with a vote for middle six.
Yeah, I want a little Tuck and Krebs. And all also the Tuckster, the fact that he's from Buffalo, was proud to be a Buffalo Sabre.
There you go.
Also to that, and everybody, and I'm not saying to Brinkett is Eichel, but I'm saying on a contract extension that when you look at the numbers, it is hard to find that. Also remember when the Eichel trade was made, Jerry, he had not had that neck surgery. I mean, there was a high risk for Vegas in giving up Tuck, Krebs in a first round. Well, first and a second, I believe. So, you know,
Nothing ventured, nothing gained.
Well, exactly. But again, I don't like when people say, well, you know, you're in a tough spot. Pacioretty, that trade right there, man, oh, man. And Suzuki, that came to boil pretty quickly, right? I mean, we're not talking about an 18-year-old or first-round pick. He was finishing up junior and made an impact pretty quickly after that move.
All right, so Simmer is on middle six. Hammer, you're on goalie.
Yes, please.
Let's solve goalie once and for
we
all.
We need that. Thank you.
And JR is on similar goal scoring forward. And we understand these are, you know, we don't have any names for you in particular, obviously. This is a
I just want good players.
That's to come.
Want really good trade, really good players. That's
right
what
now,
I want.
Right now, by your votes, similar goal scoring forward, people obviously listened to my logic last hour, leads the way at 41%. 27%. Are with you, Hammer, on goaler.
On the goaler?
On the netminder. 23% are with Simmer on let's add to the depth and the middle six. And just 9% have an interest in a package that revolves around a first and or futures prospects, that sort of thing. So we'd love your vote at tsn1200.ca. What is the preferred return on an Alex DeBrincat trade? The reason we're talking about it, and we've talked about it for the last month or so, but in earnest now, is the report from Pierre LeBrun on TSN last night, where he said that DeBrincat and his agent have submitted a list of, quote, preferred destinations, end quote, that DeBrincat would be interested in joining. And we can infer from that preferred destinations means places that Alex DeBrincat would be open to signing a long-term contract with as he heads into restricted free agency. And, of course, that's important to Ottawa if they do decide to move on a trade, and they may have really no choice in all of this because Alex DeBrincat with a contract extension in a preferred destination would bring, one would think, a far greater return than trading him into the great unknown.
Yeah, and the three teams that Pierre LeBrun mentioned, as you said in his article, JR, Vegas to Dallas to Nashville, as far as a power ranking, I don't see him as a fit for Vegas. I don't really see them going after that type of player.
I don't have any cap room.
Well, exactly, but I just don't really. You know, from a Dallas standpoint, they got a lot of money tied up and a lot of forwards, including Ben and Sagan, still on the books.
Yep.
The most logical one, if this is the direction that Barry Trotz is going as a general manager, would certainly be Nashville. Andrew Brunette, for the style that Bruno plays. You saw Barry Trotz, when he ended up having his presser talking about playing high-octane hockey. It certainly fits. But I'm telling you right now that one of the things they'll be saying right away was, we got some interest, we'll give you something, but we want to get rid of either Johansson or Duchesne.
Yeah.
That's what they're going to be looking to shed, and that is the last thing obviously, that the Ottawa Senators want to do.
Absolutely. Okay, so I've come up with my own list of teams that I think are realistic-y.
Kind of sticky, like icky?
Yeah.
Am I going to find this on Twitter?
No.
Somewhere?
No, okay. I haven't said realistic-y.
Okay, yeah.
That I think are realistic-y type trade partners.
Yeah. Okay.
Now, I have no idea if DeBrincat is open.
Yeah.
I will say, in thinking about this, I removed all Canadian teams from this.
Okay.
Because if Alex DeBrincat is not interested in playing for Ottawa, I think part of the reason, I'm guessing here, but that either he or family or whatever just aren't interested in living in Canada. Yeah. And listen, there are players like that, and that's understandable. Mm. And let me get sidetracked for just a second.
Yeah.
Do you if you're one of the other young core players with the Ottawa Senators, if you're Brady Tkachuk, Tim Stützle, Thomas Chabot, the players that have signed here long term, committed here long term, Josh Norris, how you feeling about that?
Well, you want him out of here, Jer. That's what you want. I never felt like last year. I mean, you never heard his name mentioned. You never really heard anything talked about. Hey, it doesn't work. Again, you don't know when you trade for a guy, but it doesn't feel like it fit. Now, I'll also say, and this is going back to one of the great things about being from the Detroit area is that you never actually want to go back there when you're from there. Like let's remove some of that stuff as well. And Mark Mathot mentions it all the time. Guys are focused on money. They are focused on if they can live in a warm climate. There's lots of things here. Everyone thinks you're chasing a Stanley Cup, which, I mean, you look at Dallas and you look at Vegas. If that's the case, okay, they are very good teams. But that factor right now, quite simply, this tells me the gentleman wants to live somewhere south, wants to live in a no-tax state, and wants to get paid.
The reason I bring up the how you feeling if you're part of the Sens core do you not yourself kind of look at it and go either... Like, hey, Alex, like, what's up with us?
Yeah. What's your priority? As I said, no, but when you bought in as a draft pick, JR, I understand. And first and foremost, you want to take care of your family. I get the sense with Brady Tkachuk and Tim Stützle, Norris, I'll go through the entire group. I think they're trying to build something special, and I truly believe they want to win. That's not always a priority for players. And I think for Alex DeBrincat, and it's just my own personal opinion, Sean Simpson out of Canada, the guy really, what's he motivated by? He's motivated to get paid right now, which is important. But he does not, you know, and again, he got traded to Ottawa.
Right.
He has no buy-in. He's not part of the group. So the sooner you can get rid of him, the better.
Yeah. The other guys and all those core guys I mentioned, I know Josh Norris was acquired in a trade, but I mean, for all realistic scenarios, you know, it's like he was drafted.
Yeah. He's come through your system,
right?
Yeah, absolutely.
Whereas DeBrincat has played somewhere else, so he's seen kind of the other side.
Yeah, for sure,
as it were. But I would feel a bit odd about not in a bad way, or not that I don't like Alex DeBrincat now. Yeah. Yeah. But if I was a guy who was here and a part of the core, and I had committed myself, I'd be thinking to myself, am I not seeing something here? I see nothing but positivity about wanting to be part of what's going on here in Ottawa. And why doesn't this guy who we brought, why isn't he seeing what I'm seeing?
Yeah, no, for sure. And if you're Brady Tkachuk, you'd look no further than your brother. I mean, you understand. It doesn't fit for everybody. You have a Claude Giroux here that's home. He's come. He's proud. He's excited. And that's what ultimately has happened with the Ottawa Senators, where it was lost for a while, Jer. You had guys coming here like Matt Duchene, lots of guys coming through town. This is just a stop along the way. They didn't want to be an Ottawa Senator. You've restored the pride in the brand, and it's not always going to work. And let's not also pretend this is an Ottawa thing. I mean, you look at Pierre-Luc Dubois, you look at lots of players, you know, everyone's always talking about Canada. Well, last time I checked, Connor McDavid, Leon Draisaitl, lots of star players have stayed and played in Canada. This can be market-related. It can be personally related. Lots of different factors here where, quite simply, things don't work for you. Marty St. Louis worked his way out of Tampa Bay to go to New York. You know what I mean? It's, you know, there's factors always involved. It doesn't have to be Canada. In this particular case, this is really, as I go back to, this is where the roll of the dice of, quite simply, all of a sudden trading for a player, you don't know how it's going to work out all the time. And I've been there and done that, and it's hard. You know, as a team, you put your best foot forward, and the Ottawa Senators are in a real good place. And I do say this in a kind way, But yeah, there's something really special going on in Ottawa, and you're about to get a new owner. If you don't want to, and if they're offering good money, if you don't want to be here, good riddance. You know, be on your way. You know, go somewhere else and do your thing. You know, and maybe it works out. But that's the way I'd be looking at it. Like, this isn't Ottawa that was 5 years ago, where even Jason Spezza wanted out of town. Daniel Alfredson left. The Ottawa Senators are in a much better place right now.
All right, so I removed all the Canadian teams because I think actually that's fairly realistic.
I think so too, Jared.
Okay.
Yeah.
And then I'll mention a couple of teams that I don't think are realistic, but I'll put them on my bottom of the realistic-y list. Okay. one is New Jersey, and I'll only include them if they can't get something done with one of either Timo Meier or Jesper Bratt, both of whom are need new contracts, kind of similar to DeBrincat. Goal scoring type players, not exactly similar players.
Yeah.
But I'll say if New Jersey and I know that they're either going to start. I believe they're going to start contract negotiations with Meier this week. Was a story from yesterday. And Bratt, they've kind of gone back and forth on.
Yeah.
I think it's pretty realistic both those players will get signed. So I'll just put them as a maybe. I'll put Columbus in there as well as a sort of a weak maybe. As well, only because Jarmo Kekalainen looked like he really wants to kind of fast forward things.
Yeah, yeah.
And hiring Mike Babcock. But then I look at the team and I go, they've already got a big money, smallish winger guy in Johnny Gaudreau. They've got, you know, Patrick Laine, big money. You know, they got a lot of money tied up in wingers right now. I just don't know if adding another winger, a goal scoring winger, is a realistic option for Columbus. Mm-hmm. So I just, I throw that out there, but I don't think that. So here are the five teams. Actually, you know what? Sorry. I got one other one. I got the Islanders on the list, but they don't have any cap space, so I don't know how you can make that work.
That was the one I pointed to, but unfortunately, you're going to get to, as you said, the one thing you want to avoid if you're Ottawa is taking back a contract. That's one thing you want to steer clear of right now.
So here's my list of, I think, the four most realistic options, other than maybe the couple that Pierre LeBrun mentioned last night.
Yeah.
Okay. I got Carolina, and that one just jumps right off the board at me
for a million different reasons. For sure.
Real good team that, and it was really easy to identify what their biggest issue was when you watch the playoffs. Couldn't put the puck in the net.
Yeah.
And what is Alex DeBrincat's calling card? His ability to put the puck in the net.
Yeah.
We didn't see it as much as the Ottawa Senators had hoped this year, but his resume speaks for itself. 40-goal guy in the prime of his career. They've got tons of cap space. I think the Carolina Hurricanes are a very realistic option for a trade partner for Ottawa. Again, if he's on their list, if he's on the list of preferred destinations. I don't know that. I just look at that from Ottawa's perspective and go and team needs and go Carolina for sure. What about the Seattle Kraken? Team with a ton of cap space. Mm-hmm. Again, that's way out west.
Yeah.
We're talking about a Midwest guy. I don't know about, again, I'm just looking at teams that I think are realistic.
Yeah.
Tons of cap space.
Yeah.
You know, they've potentially got some tradable commodities.
Yeah.
I don't know if they're an exact match for Ottawa,
yeah.
but I'll put Seattle on the list. So that's number two. I will put Detroit on the list. I think it'd be folly not to suggest that Detroit would be on the list for a bunch of different reasons. I know you would disagree, but
I can't disagree with you, JR. I only say that, you know, you go back to Bobby Ryan, lots of players. I'll go back to even Broussard in his first time returning. You know, there are just a lot of players that the idea of playing at home really doesn't resonate. But as far as an actual hockey fit and for where Detroit's at right now, I totally agree with you.
Okay, and my fourth and final team, and it's a bit off the page.
Okay.
And if you want to laugh, you can laugh.
Okay. Well.
But if you're going to laugh... You got to chuckle out loud so everybody can hear.
Okay.
Because if I'm proven right, I want to go back and grab that tape and go, look, Zimmer, you laughed at me when I said Alex DeBrincat would end up with the Pittsburgh Penguins.
Okay.
What about the Pittsburgh Penguins?
No, well,
a team that's all in to win
The
next little bit, they've got $20 million in cap space.
For sure. Yeah, I just would ask what's coming back, JR? You know, are you looking at, would they trade Gensel? You know, are you looking at something like that? But I think Kyle Dubas absolutely be swinging to the Seattle one, you know, and all the things you kind of point out, trying to go next level. I feel like they're going to go slow and steady, you know what I mean, in a sense of, are they really going to switch out some legitimate futures? And would you, first of all, Shane Wright, you look at right away. Now, to their first round pick this year.
But we said Ottawa wasn't really interested in futures, right?
Well,
they pushed in to try to win now.
Yeah, for sure.
And Shane Wright's a more of a down the road.
Yeah. Well, if he was the Shane Wright that we expected his draft year, that would be much closer to the Suzuki situation. Mm-hmm. But no, I think they're all interesting to kind of point out. But Caroline, I think, absolutely would be one of the obvious ones. You'd look on the list and say, hey, for many different reasons, that would be a pretty good fit. And mm-hmm. and like I said, Nashville is a big-time wild card. And I think any of the teams, as far as an impact, to bring in some goal scoring, to push things along. The part is, and this is the interesting, I know the stats have been excellent. People do point to, you know, how many teams are looking to pay, you know, $8 million, eight times eight or north of that, for a 5-7 goal scorer. Like, is that a true
right.
Now, goal scoring, I know Pooley points out, and I totally agree. You know, goal scoring is a big thing. Do you feel like that's the kind of player when we watch the playoffs that you think is going to be a playoff performer as well? I'm not so sure.
And on Carolina, who I have on my list of four,
yeah.
I've got them at the top of my list. Mm-hmm. And I kind of threw this out last night on social media, and then people just, and I didn't say, you know, what would be the yes. type of player coming back, and everybody immediately went to Martin Natchez, and I don't see any scenario whatsoever where the Carolina Hurricanes are trading that guy. He had 28 goals this year.
Yeah.
He's younger, he's bigger,
yeah.
He's
yeah.
faster. Yeah, you know, it's realistic he could match Alex DeBrincat in terms of goal scoring as yeah. soon as next year.
Yeah.
I don't see that as a realistic trade mm-hmm. for Carolina. I don't think that's a smart trade.
Yeah.
The player I'd circle mm-hmm. on there is Seth Jarvis.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, no, I agree with that. Yeah.
In
yeah.
year one, I watched yeah. this guy play a little bit in yeah. his rookie year. Yeah. In his rookie year, and I met a couple of times, and I went, yeah. wow, that yeah. guy looks like yeah. a real, real nice player.
Yeah.
And then this past year, mm-hmm. numbers-wise, and didn't really jump out as much this yeah. year. When I watched a couple of games, Carolina games, where he didn't seem to be as good as his rookie year. But yeah. then in the playoffs, mm. he was one of their better players
yeah.
again.
Yeah.
So, again, a Carolina that's been pushing the rock up the hill, getting closer,
yeah,
can't
sure.
get it over the top.
Yeah.
I'm not saying that, you know, they're going to be all in and next year or bust kind of for mm. Carolina. Mm. But if you're looking to, you're not adding a 35-year-old goal. Again,
no,
Alex DeBrincat's
yeah.
in the prime of his career.
Yeah.
And in Seth Jarvis, you got a guy who's played a couple of years in the NHL, looking like he's trending toward being a real good hockey player. He can put the puck in the net a little bit. I wonder if that's the type of a kind of a deal that may be realistic.
Yeah, no, for sure, Jer. You look at a guy like,
or it could be completely wrong.
Yeah, would anybody have interest in a guy like Kotkaniemi? I mean, there's lots of ways to look at. And as I said, the part you truly want to avoid where Ottawa's at right now is the shifting out of money. Yeah, and again, you know, finding his fits, and they keep going back to, you know, Tuck and Krebs. You know, Tuck being a very good player. The fact he's from Buffalo is a bonus. Krebs was graduating from junior, able to step right in. As I go back to the Pacioretty for Suzuki, it's not up for us to come up with the trades. And as I said, I'm also realistic. I don't think there's a one-for-one comparable, because why is a team trading that out in this day and age? You know, the circumstance for Heatley and Hossa is incredibly unique, but that's the job of Pierre Dorion, to find that out, to find the trade, and it can be a player, and God, how favorable in the case of Jarvis is a guy that's still on an entry-level contract. I mean, and then when you look going forward, you know, isn't going to, you know, bust the bank. And you look at the sophomore, and you look at a guy like Sillinger, right? You see this happen, where guys have a pretty good first year. That doesn't mean the dip. Well, Kotkaniemi had a huge dip and is finally slowly working his way back. So
you wouldn't have an interest in Kotkaniemi.
No, I'm just saying, you look at players, and I'm coming up with names. But that's up to the scouting staff to identify. And like I said, you could in this case, because I truly believe DeBrincat on a contract extension is more valuable than that seventh pick overall last year, JR. It's just a question now of what you can turn it into. Like I said, it could end up being a real positive for the Ottawa Senators.
There is a chance, especially, again, given the fact that DeBrincat has given a list to Ottawa of places he would be open. And when we say preferred destinations, we're inferring that he'd be open to signing a long-term contract, which should mean Ottawa should be able to garner a better return. I think this is the other part that may help as well, is that this year's UFA group is really thin. Like, there is this is not a really good year in free agency. Next year, as it sits right now, and this would include Alex DeBrincat, next year there's like a home run.
Yeah,
there's a bevy of, you know, star to superstar players that are available next summer.
Or might be available.
Yeah,
that's always a fun part of the year out, eh?
But yeah, for sure.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
At this point, if you're a team that goes, listen, we got to shake things up here. We got to add a star player.
Sure.
We got to add a guy who can put the puck in the net. We got to add a guy that maybe can sell some tickets. If you feel that Alex DeBrincat is that type of player,
yeah.
there is
There's not as much competition summer in the marketplace in UFA. Now, there are going to be some players like Pierre-Luc Dubois, who's not a similar player, but a similar circumstance might be available in a trade. Yeah. But I'm just saying, for a team that might want to make a big splash, the Ottawa Senators right now have a player that looks like he will be available, and that may help the return as well.
Oh, absolutely, Jer. And there's a lot of teams, when you look at free agency any year, unless you absolutely have talked to an agent and guaranteed you're going to sign a player, you don't know. That's why the activity between now and the draft is so important. There's not a general manager in the league that's not looking to make a splash to improve their team, maybe down on a player. The New York Rangers, if Kane and Tarasenko are walking out the door and they look at Alexei Lafreniere and try to change things up, oh, for sure. I think there's just a lot of teams that would be, now the issue you have with Alex DeBrincat is the value for the contract extension and preferred destinations. But as far as wanting to make a splash, oh, absolutely. There's so many. If you didn't win the Stanley Cup this year, pretty good chance you're down on some of your players. And as Pooley's also said, I think there'll be a lot of movement.
All right, some texts have come in at 12-1200. When you text us, standard messaging rates apply. Until the new owner comes in, I don't want to say any trades or signings. Bring in a new GM. That comes from Mike. From Terry: morning, everyone. It seems to me Carolina would benefit with a cat infusion. Plus, they have hard-playing players. We need those middle forwards. Mm-hmm. From Terry. From the Postman: hey, guys, let's get a goalie for the Cat. What do you think about Hellebuck? Would Winnipeg want that? Well, we've already said that. They got their own Pierre-Luc Dubois issues with a guy who doesn't want to sign. I just don't think, in terms of a DeBrincat trade, that they'd have any interest in doing that.
Well, I'm also feeling that if I can connect the dots of growing up outside of Detroit, transferring to Erie, sending over to Chicago, now to Ottawa, I'm getting a feeling that Winnipeg is not the next stop on the track. Would you agree?
Yes. Rob writes, good morning, guys. Along with DeBrincat, I'd be looking at trading Shabbat as well. Between the two of them, they could get a nice mix of forwards, defense, and maybe a goalie in return. That comes from Rob.
Rob, as far as that, I'm open to anything outside of probably a Stutzla, Kachuk, Sanderson. I would like to go into this year, see what the defense looks like. I'd like to see the growth of Klevin, see if Chicken can stay healthy, see where Zub is at. Lots of factors here, but I certainly would not rule that out down the road. And as I pointed out, if Thomas Chabot at $8 million, $10 million out the door, is playing on your second unit and is not even... I'm assuming he'll captain your power play, but I would not rule that move out down the road. But I don't think the time is that now. Right now, you finally solidified the core. Let's see what it looks like to start next year. And we know Thomas Chabot is a very good player and better and can be more consistent with less minutes and maybe better support around him.
Unsigned writes, does DeBrincat have a no-move clause, or why does anyone care what list he signs? Well, he doesn't have any kind of... You can't have a no-trade or a no-move until you're in your unrestricted years, he's not. So he doesn't have any trade protection. Mm-hmm. And as to the point of who cares what list he sends, you care because presumably the return you're going to get if he gets traded to a place he's open to signing a long-term contract in would be much greater than anywhere else.
Exactly.
That's why you should care about the news from last night.
Yeah, and the window here, and this is also a bit of the timing, JR, the other part, if he turns around in the first 2 weeks of July and takes his qualifying offer at $9 million, if you're the Ottawa Senators, you're hooped. So you're a little bit on the clock. Well, you're not a little bit. You're a lot on the clock here to get this done between now and, I assume, the draft.
All right, continue to share your thoughts. You can text us at 12-1200, tweet at us at TSN1200. Again, we'll get the thoughts of Mike Johnson from Florida, where he's getting set to watch Game 3 tonight between the Panthers and the Vegas Golden Knights, a game you can also hear right here on TSN 1200. It's 7:45. We'll take a break on this smokeless Thursday morning here in Ottawa, thankfully, on Sports Radio TSN 1200. Of course, we'll have a game for you. Home of the Red Blacks, Saturday night, 7 o'clock. 5:30 pregame show, and then 1 week from tonight is actually the home opener for the Red Blacks as the Calgary Stampeders will be in town. We'll have Justin Dunk from Three Down Nation to do a CFL preview for us coming up after 9 o'clock this morning. All right, let's get back to some of the texts on the DeBrincat discussion this morning. Trade DeBrincat back to Chicago for the first overall. That's from JP. There you go. Yeah. Problem solved.
Yeah, very bold right there. Yeah. Certainly be good from a marketing standpoint.
Now, who would the Sens take, though, if they had the first overall? There's no real kind of, there's no, one guy that kind of sticks out this year.
That's true. No consensus one pick, although it is interesting, and we'll see how this goes. I'm Connor Bedard, the hype. But Mr. Fantilli, man, oh, man. By the time the Cards were in a World Junior, a World Championship,
a Hobie Baker winner. Holy moly, did he have a year in college hockey? So this reminds me a little bit of the McDavid-Eichel draft where Fantilli, I won't say closed the gap, but boy, oh boy, what a hell of a year he had.
Let's see. This text comes in. I was never anti DeBrincat, but if you put him into the Sens lineup at $9 million, they only have about $500,000 in cap space. I think getting two times $4 million players or a goalie upgrade will help the roster round out better. Good chat this morning, guys. That's from Unsigned.
Yeah, Unsigned, again, it's such a discussion philosophically. Okay, just to remove it, where do you build your team around? Well, you build it around Brady Tkachuk because he's a unicorn. We always talk about building teams down the middle, the center ice, the goaltender, the defense. Alex DeBrincat as a 5-7 goal scorer is a very legitimate discussion. The issue, and in part I guess I run into, JR, I get caught up a little bit in the here and now of being competitive, is that the forward group has quickly thinned out so much that I use that term, he's very much part of the solution, but I'm not disagreeing. I am not completely sold on, and I'm certainly not, and when I watched him play last year, and I'll elaborate more when he gets moved, but he dropped off in the second half of the year, and he was not a dynamic hockey player, and it had nothing to do with the system. He was a one-dimensional hockey player last year. He was minus 31. I think there's lots of reasons there to be concerned, and that was one of the reasons I said I might continue to do a test drive into next year. Well, that's not going to happen, but do you know what I mean? I'm not sitting here saying I'm completely sold on the guy. What I am completely sold on is that to make forward progress, if you remove him from the group as it sits right now, the Ottawa Senators up front continue to be a very thin group.
And that's why I'm of the opinion that the best trade for the Sens is to get back a similar. I'm more interested in a one-for-one. Yeah. I'm more interested, and again, I'm, you know, everybody's blue skies and lollipops and rainbows in my world.
Yeah.
I'm interested in getting a goal-scoring forward in return than I am in depth or goalie or futures or whatever. Yeah. Dunner writes, good morning, gents. Just a point on DeBrincat. At least Dorion added a player that has value. It was a hedged bet, roll of the dice, bringing him in. The GM knew if it wasn't a fit, he still holds value to recoup assets the team needs. As a fan, I was happy he took a swing. I think Dorion did a good job. That's from Dunner.
Yeah.
Well, I'll just quickly say, at the time that he made the trade, I thought it was a good swing, a roll of the dice as well. A good swing. And for what they gave up, again, if we look back and you go a first, a second, and a third, at the time, I think most of us thought, wow, that's a really good trade. So a year later, because Alex DeBrincat had just an okay year, not a great year, does that make the move at that time now a bad move? I don't think that it does. We'll see what they get in return. This will be a huge part of it.
Yeah.
But the stage is now set with what is, you know, the news that has come now in the last 12 hours. Stage is now set for them to, as Dunner writes, to recoup maybe a large portion of those assets or turning into something else.
Oh, and that is a huge part of it, Jared. But I said from the beginning as well, the hype was exciting. What I was fearful of is not knowing the direction of the player, having no indication whether he wanted to. And for where Ottawa was at, quite simply, you made that move in the Talbot move to make the playoffs. You didn't make the playoffs, so it didn't work. But at $9 million, $9 million. U.S. dollars. That guy didn't even come close to delivering. I don't need the old, I can't find the right players to play with him. I got you playing $9 million bucks, bud. I need you to make everybody else around you better. And the circumstance where you knew it was going to be a $9 million qualifier was a sexy and incredibly high-risk move. Now, as far as the value versus the 7th pick overall, I've already said, I totally agree with you. I think they're sitting on better value if the player signs a contract extension. Recovery could be excellent. That's a lot of could-be's, though, to be quite honest with you. And like I said, the sexy summer last year of all the moves, of bringing in Drew at 35 years old, bringing in Talbot for Gustafson, buying out guys, sending Matt Murray out of town, bringing in DeBrincat, it didn't get the results. So to me, it has not worked. But I really do think you're in a real good spot here. The issue, though, is the contract extension. Who wants Alex DeBrincat? We don't even know favorable destinations. Has Jeff Jackson talked to the teams? You know, there's a lot of variables here. And there is a chance for a recovery, but let's reconvene in another month and I'll have a different opinion if the recovery is strong.
Unsigned wants us to reconvene in a year from now and saying, fast forward 1 year, are we going to be in the same situation with Jake Chychrun? Different circumstance, I'll say this. Mm-hmm. In terms of where they're at with contracts, it potentially could be. Absolutely. They've acquired Jake Chychrun with 2 years away from unrestricted free agency. Now, he does have a contract for this year, this coming season, and next season, so it's slightly different in terms of that. Correct? Correct me if I'm wrong. Yes, but then he's an unrestricted free agent at that point. Yeah. They have two. The difference in the two is that with Jake Chychrun, you have a player that he has said wants to be here.
Oh,
he wants to be in Ottawa. So that is the you know, Alex DeBrincat, as you said, I don't think was even asked. He was just acquired in a trade. There was no communication whatsoever. Yeah. He had no idea if he wanted to be here or not. The year has played out, and it would appear he does not want to be here long term.
And I don't even know from DeBrincat's standpoint, as much as they were going into a rebuild, I'm not sure he expected to be moved. So it was a shock to the system. As far as Jake Chychrun, night and day, the guy is absolutely thrilled to come back to Ottawa. His grandfather's here. His father is from here. His sister lives here. The only issue, and again, I just hope, and I don't think it's of any fault of his, I just hope the fella can stay healthy. If he stays healthy, continues to play well for the Ottawa Senators, I very much think he's going to be part of the long-term future, even more so as Kleven evolves. You look at Sanderson, maybe some other pieces there. You know, you may get to a point where you do look at a Thomas Chabot and trying to switch things out, put Chychrun back to his natural side. But yeah, I don't look at it the same. But is it also a move to fast track? For sure it is. He's got 2 years left in his contract. We don't know how that's going to play out, but I do think that, I wouldn't compare the two. But it's like I said, you got Jake Chychrun for 2 years. You got Giroux for 2 years. You got a window right here where you need to win. You need to make the playoffs. These guys are here to make you win. They're not here to be part of the process. They're here because you got to get into the playoffs and make some noise.
And that's why I don't. There's no doubt in my mind that the trade of Alex DeBrincat is going to be about roster players. Mm-hmm. It may involve, maybe it's a three-way, maybe what we saw earlier this week. Maybe other teams look at that now and go, okay, that's a realistic option of that you involve a third team that is involved, that is interested in getting futures, and Ottawa gets roster players, you know, from that third team. Maybe that's as opposed to, you know, just trading with a singular team. Maybe that's the way around it.
Yeah.
But I there is no doubt in my mind for all the reasons you just went through and just the way we're seeing things play out. Ottawa is trying to win right now. They're trying to make the playoffs right now. Yeah. Trading for DeBrincat for first-round picks and prospects is not on the table.
No. I mean, again, I use Tuck and Krebs, and there's lots of ways to look at it, Jer. I'm just also being realistic when it comes to a contract extension. You know, who is that goal scorer that's being switched out? But when you mention a name like Jarvis, you know, to me, that's very sensible. Like I said, that's a player that's a pro. That's a player that's on an entry-level contract. Being realistic about that, and I think it would be Jarvis and something else, that very much is identifying, okay, this is a player that certainly is not DeBrincat and probably never will be as far as the offensive numbers, but he goes right into our group. He is a player on our team. We think he's a good player, and we think he has some upside. I think that's a very realistic solution.
All right, continue to share your thoughts. Text us at 12-1200. Tweet at us at TSN1200. Phone lines are always open, by the way, at 750-1200. And again, our tool and equipment store web poll question of the day. What is the preferred return on a DeBrincat trade for you? Is it a similar goal-scoring forward? Is it more depth, more middle six players, maybe a couple of them? Is it a goalie to solve the goalie thing maybe once and for all? Or is it a first and future/prospect sort of thing? What's your preferred return? Let us know what you think at tsn1200.ca. We'll put the questions to Mike Johnson. He is our TSN Hockey Insider today. He's down in South Florida for Game 3 of the Stanley Cup Final, and he will join us after our top-of-the-hour news and sports update, which is next here on TSN 1200.